innovative ways to involve community health workers in the evaluation of chronic disease. This is a very innovative program, working with Russian speakers in San Francisco around chronic disease. There's very few programs or projects like it in the country, and it has a lot of challenges. Let me see if this is not working. Please go to the next. Thank you. So we're going to be talking about documenting outcomes and using community health workers and folks in the community to help with evaluation. And I'll say right off the bat that I do not speak Russian. My grandparents are Russian, and that means nothing because I don't speak Russian and I'm not really connected with Russian culture. And you'll see how important it is to have Russian speakers and how important culture is in really running this program and evaluating the program. I'm going to run through a couple of slides here that talks a little bit about the program. Let me just give you really the soul and the heart of what the program is by the example of one person. Lev met Sasha, who is one of our community outreach workers, 3 years ago, and noted what a good influence Sasha had had on him. He had come from the former Soviet Union 14 years ago, where he was a physics scientist. In 93, when he came to the U.S., his language barrier combined with the transition to the U.S. put him in serious depression for 3-4 years. When he met Sasha, who told him about Let's Be Healthy, a project for Russian speakers, he understood its importance, especially for older people who immigrate from the former Soviet Union and don't speak English. They develop cooking and other education classes, he said, to help create an environment for people to come together in this new culture. And if you skip to the bottom there, you can see Lev is now one of the most consistent attendees of Let's Be Healthy, including going to activities like walking, cooking, art of health, and yoga. And he doesn't want to stop with the things that he started. He now wants to start a chess club. So this is the heart of what this project is about. It's about connecting Russian immigrants into activities that change their lifestyle around health and cooking. LBH is a unique program in that it's a partnership between a community-based, it's a nonprofit, BACR, and it basically is a partnership between the San Francisco Department of Public Health and a community-based project, a nonprofit. This is very unusual because mostly what you see a lot of times are community clinics working on one hand, and you'll see a small nonprofit on the other, and they have brought both of these together in this project. It started based on a study. Patricia Irwin, who's in the back of the room here, was one of the people from DPH who put together this assessment on the Russian-speaking population and found out that chronic disease is a serious, serious problem among Russian immigrants. The life expectancy for a Russian male is 59 and a half. That's about 10 years less than your average American male. So this is a real big issue in this population. And if you go to the next slide here, we'll talk a little bit about what Let's Be Healthy does. It aims to equip Russian immigrants with the resources they need to maintain healthy lives. And the really important part of this project is it builds upon the strengths of Russian-speaking newcomers, the enjoyment and comfort they take in doing things in groups. I mean, I think the group before talked a little bit about the Latino culture and conversation and storytelling. This is very, very true amongst Russians. They love to congregate, speak, eat, and do activities. So this project, it's kind of a neat thing. They kind of come through the back door and say, we've got all these activities to do, like yoga, walking, exercise, and kind of build it as kind of a social project, but what it's really doing is improving people's health. It's a 4-year project, and you can see that it's actually funded through something called the Robert Wood Johnson Local Initiative Funding Partners Program, which will fund a project at a very, sometimes $350,000 to $400,000, and you have to match those dollars one for one in the local community. Next one here. There's four parts. The community leadership is basically an internship program where we reach out to the community and ask 9 to 10 folks from the community who are Russian speakers and Russian immigrants to help us do the program and serve as ambassadors. The second part is an education campaign where we do newspaper ads, where we do presentations in the community speaking about changing lifestyle for Russian immigrants. The third part is the education and promotion. Those are all the activities that I've been speaking about, exercise, walking, yoga. And the last part is actually the part that's most connected with community clinics, where we do something called group medical visits and healthy living classes, which I'll talk a bit more about. Drilling down, the promotionics are our interns, and this is a very powerful part of the project where we bring in the community to help run the activities. Go to the next one here. Here you see a picture of actually, the two folks on your left are promotionics, and the person on the right is a full staff member. Our whole staff is Russian-speaking. So this is really our ambassadors to the community. And I'm checking in with them every day on how we're doing on evaluation. And they're kind of translating culturally for me things that we're doing right and things that we're not doing right. And Russians are very much not afraid to tell you if you're doing something wrong. They're very much like New Yorkers, especially the group of Russians that we work with are from Moscow. So they're very aggressive. They're not afraid to tell you what they think. And so that makes it actually an easier project to work with as opposed to them being shy and not speaking up. The education campaign is us putting pharmacy bags around the community in San Francisco, putting in local ads, local articles, and actually going out in the community and making presentations to residences where we know there's large groups of Russian speakers. The third component here that we talked about were the activities, and you can go to the next one here, I'll talk about. We do approximately 20 opportunities per month. Yoga, walking, exercise, gardening, healthy cooking classes, and all these things are going on every week. I'm going to show you some pictures here. You can see our gardening project, our exercise group, which has about 20 to 25 people that show up 3 times a week to do this. We have a yoga class with an interpreter. It's very popular. And the chronic care component, I just want to stop for a second, in terms of working with the community clinics, we do something called group medical visits where we will bring nutritionists, doctors, social workers to come into a room once a month, and we'll have a group of Russian speakers there that come for 6 months. So, you know, there's a little, the Russian medical system is dramatically different than the American medical system. I mean, Russians like to be touched. Russians like doctors to spend a long time speaking to them. It's very different than the American medical system. So this is really kind of helping to transition a lot of these Russian immigrants to what the American medical system is. Go to the next one here. This is a healthy living class, which is actually open to the whole community. It's a 6-week class taught by our promotionics and some of our staff around preventing and dealing with chronic disease. And it's in the Russian language. We've taken a lot of the curriculum from Kaiser Permanente and other and Stanford University and translated it into Russian. To give you a little bit of an idea about the evaluation for this program, we have an evaluator on board that's paid for by the grant for 4 years. So it's a living, breathing evaluation. And I worked in the foundation world for 4 years before I came to this project, and I know that it's crucial when you look at projects to know that the evaluation, it's not an enemy of the project. It's actually working side by side with the project and giving feedback on a monthly basis. We also do pre and post tests. We do medical tests for the group medical visits, which is actually run by doctors who are there. We have focus groups with the promotionics, the interns in the program. And we do a yearly evaluation. So every year of the project, there's an evaluation that comes out. I have a couple of them up here. And that we engage with the evaluator on this. So we'll look at what they're writing and what they're saying, and then we can change the project as we're going along. Talking a little bit about how the community and how community health workers are involved here, the community was part of this project from the beginning. Once the assessment was done and we realized there was a problem in the Russian population, we started engaging their leaders and figuring out what kind of project would work. Because any project you put together for non-Russian speakers, it's a very, very different project. So we looked at the strengths and the needs. We involved community members in the planning and the implementing and the evaluating. And we were flexible to change. Month to month, sometimes, you know, I have this idea, I don't know if it's because I'm an American, but I always think that when we do activities and things, I always want to give out prizes and, you know, raffles. And I'm really into this stuff, and I don't know what it's from. But when I speak with my staff who are Russian, they always tell me that, we don't need that. Or, you know what, maybe just a $10 gift certificate to Trader Joe's. Or, you know, and I'm, oh, let's get a book certificate to Barnes & Noble, let's do this. And they really kind of keep me grounded in what's going to work with this population. And what it really comes down to is relationship building with this population and trust. And trust is something very, very important in this population because they come from a former communist system where the government, where mental health was all basically set up to basically bring them down or to find out someone who wasn't basically, you know, part of the system. And so evaluation becomes a very tough thing to work with Russian speakers. In fact, early in this project or a project called The Sunset, we had this great idea of having folks make pledges and commitments basically to not smoking. And all of a sudden, we found out from the Russian community that the whole idea of pledge or pledge sheets was a scary thing for them. We were going to drive people away because it was kind of almost like a pledge to communism. Second thing was immigrant experiences related to fear and distrust. It's almost a funny thing because this project is funded by a large grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Sometimes when I'm speaking about them, or I'm speaking about the San Francisco Department of Public Health, you know, a lot of the participants and the staff look at me as if I'm speaking about some kind of enemy. And I stop and I say, no, hold on. They're providing the money for this program, and they're coming for a site visit not because they want to close us down, but because they want to get our feedback. So it's a very different cultural attitude that they have based on their past experience, which is understandable. And also explaining that evaluation is important. Some of them just think, why do we have to fill this out? Or, you know, and so it's really kind of hand-holding a little bit. Strategies to involve the community health workers and community. We sit down with the staff as well as participants and talk about how should this evaluation look. We've changed the frequency of the evaluation based on hearing that a lot of folks just don't want to fill it out that many times, or they're starting to get kind of disengaged. We decide who gives it out. It's rarely me who goes out into the field. It's usually folks who speak the language. And most of the evaluations are in Russian, which sometimes can become complicated in translation. Involvement of staff. We do focus groups a lot, and we will have an outside Russian-speaking person come in and speak with the interns or speak with participants in one of the healthy living classes. And that's a whole development to that process. Thank you. Some of the challenges. I can't really do much of my program without relying on other people to translate. And that's a real challenge, because that means I have to wait because I can't move to the next step. So translation is a big problem, as well as collecting data. One thing I would really recommend is we've had American speakers sometimes collecting the names of events and activities that people do, and then I go back and look at the names, and they've just, Russian names, as you probably know, are just, they're very complicated. They're usually 10 to 15 letters, and they're messing up on the names, and so the data evaluation process actually gets affected by that. We now have a person who's doing that who is a fluent Russian speaker, and so that's helping to kind of clean up the process. The strong communication between Russian speaking, I have a very good relationship with my staff, which is very important, because I can sit down with them and they will say to me, as I said before, this is not going to work. This doesn't translate to English. This makes no sense. And so then I can kind of work with them by getting that feedback. And the final piece here, importance of written translation. Sometimes some of the surveys and the evaluation we do are just too complicated to speak it out, and we will have it written. Other times we can have more of an informal session as a focus group, and we can have a Russian speaker kind of do that and then translate it back to our evaluator who's not Russian speaking. Some recommendations. I'll move through this pretty fast because you can always look at this. We're in the third year of the project. It's going really strong right now, but we learned in the beginning that we weren't doing enough intensive training with the interns, and so we've kind of ramped that up in terms of the training for the promotion. Good. Thank you. In terms of the campaign out to the community, we've been getting the word out, but we haven't really followed up enough in terms of a lot of the materials that we put out into the community, so that's something we want to improve upon. In terms of activities, as I said before, we've got this core group of 250 to 300 folks that come to all the activities, but we want to kind of drill down a little bit more into the data. And finally, in terms of the group medical visits, we have a different population that comes to a lot of activities than comes to our, in the community clinics, the group medical and healthy living classes. So we're trying to get those folks now to go out and do the yoga and exercise and walking. And same thing with the healthy living, where we have a very good turnout. Talk about a little bit how we, you know, get the information out about our evaluation. One way is through this report, but again, we wrote this report, it's totally in English, and so the question is, how do some of the folks out in the community and the staff know about it? And so we've held meetings and we need to improve on this, but we do get this out to all the funders and all the collaborators, as well as I'm in contact with a lot of the funders and telling them about how the project's going. And we've talked about in the next year or two, bringing the funders together as well as collaborators to talk about how the project's going. Some of the challenges and rewards, I think you get the theme here that it's a big challenge in terms of evaluation and not just evaluating the project, but really working with the Russian staff and the population and kind of conveying to them that we need to track outcomes. Because coming from the foundation community, I know that if you can't show the outcomes, this project's not going to continue. It's very, very important. We try to stress the importance of celebration, so sometimes we will celebrate at the year marker and the two-year marker. Challenges of having a language as a barrier, and then the divide between certain non-Russian-speaking staff and participants. And we have the snail here because I think the snail is a persistent animal, and so we just kind of keep moving forward very slowly. But one thing I've noticed, though, that the project has been successful because now we have the staff in place to build the relationships and build the trust. So even though we don't have everybody aboard understanding that the importance of evaluation, we are slowly starting to get folks kind of opening their eyes and realizing, oh, this isn't a bad thing. We are getting funded for this. We need to do these, you know, once a month. We've got to do this page of evaluation. So we are making progress in it, but it's a slow process. And the final slide here, I've got my name here and my email. And if you're interested, if you email me, I can tell you where to get hold of this evaluation so you can read in detail a little bit more about this project. Because it is a very unique model, and it's a model we think we can use with other populations. I mean, it would have to be tinkered a little bit because of the specificity of whatever that word is, of the Russian population, but it's an important project. So thank you very much.